Bokeh tov. The only thing keeping me sane during these insane times is learning Torah. So we're going to do a quick review of the halachas of the Seder plate and what you got to know as an introduction to the laws of Pesach today. So the first thing we need to know is on Pesach, we're remembering how God took us out of Egypt. We're reenacting it to really feel what it means to leave Egypt a little bit. So some people have a custom, not just Sfardim. The Gra also mentions a custom to reenact by taking the matzah over your shoulders as if you're leaving Egypt at some point in the Seder. Good to also watch Prince of Egypt if you want to feel it. Anyway, so we talk about remembering Egypt, and we talk about freedom, and we're trying to pass that down to our children or to ourselves. That's the main goal. Now, the Gemara declares that there are three things we need Pesach to remember. We need to remember about Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. Pesach reminds us that when we were leaving Egypt, God smote the Egyptians and saved the Jews, okay? So that's what the Paschal Lamb offering is meant to symbolize. Obviously, we don't have it anymore. We'll talk about the replacement in a moment. The matzot reminds us of how when we left Egypt, we were going out with matzahs. Alternatively, that when we were in Egypt, we ate matzahs, but on a simple level, that we left Egypt with very quickly with the matzahs. And the maror reminds us of the bitter subjugation all those years down in Egypt. Now, nowadays, maror is a rabbinical obligation because maror needs to be eaten with the Paschal Lamb, but we don't have the Paschal Lamb, so it's not a biblical obligation. Also, rabbinically, the afikomen matzah is eaten instead of the korban Pesach. Okay, and the midrabanan, of course, we also have the 4 cups of wine. We also try to do strange things to get kids aroused, to ask lots of questions. The Rambam and others, the Mishnah Berurah, points out we give kids nuts to get them excited, to get them involved. And we need to make sure to start Kiddush after Tzitz, Hakochavim. That's usually not such of a problem here in Israel, but in places like in Europe where Shkia comes late, you have to note that because the first cup is one of the 4 cups that needs to be done after nightfall. We take out our nice kalim for the Seder, the way of Chirut, the way of freedom. And Rosh Hashanah says you should also put out your nice Sfarim if you've written, the Sfarim that you love, all your Haggadahs to be connected to all the Rebbes. Okay. Now we put the matzah and the maror on the table. The matzah needs to be uncovered most of the time for two reasons. The pasuk says, "Vigadi levincha bayom ha'ufa vorzeh," because of this. So the matzah has to be on the table so we can point at it. Also, it's lechem ani, lechem oni, lechem that we're answering upon. So we generally leave the matzah uncovered unless you're doing kiddush, and then you cover the challah because it would be disrespectful to bless on the wine while the bread is there. Okay, the Arizal's custom is to have a mapa, a separation between the matzot. You'll see that custom, and others like the Chayadim say that there's no need to have that mapa, even better not to. For the maror, we usually use chasa lettuce or chazeret, which is horseradish. We also put on the Seder plate an egg, which is a reminder of the korban chagiga, the sacrifice that was brought every single holiday, and we have a zroa, which is chicken for Ashkenazim, or meat, animal, cow, which reminds us of the zroa and the tuya. We don't eat that, at least according to most customs, but it's on the table. The beitza also, by the way, in Aramaic is spelled bea, which represents desire or desiring of Beit HaMikdash when we can rebuild and re-offer our korbanot. The karpas is also on the table. That's dipped in salt water. It's the way of a rich man to eat an appetizer. It also has us wash a second time, so the children will ask. And we also put the mixture of wine and fruits and nuts. I'll remember the word soon, but you know what I'm talking about. We put that to remind us of the mortar of Egypt, but it's also the apple is one of the ingredients to remind us how the women enticed us in the apple tree. So it's both bitter and happy, this delicious snack on the table. That starts with a chet. I'm just blanking. early in the morning. I apologize. And how? What is the order of the Seder plate? So the Seder plate is not mentioned in the Gemara, so you don't need to have every single person have their Seder plate. The custom is that the Orech HaSeder, the one who's setting up the Seder, has it. This year it'll probably be simpler because it'll be smaller meals for the most part. At least here in Israel, that's what it will be. I assume it'll be like that in most places. And according to the Ramah, you put on the table whatever is going to come first in the Seder, so you don't pass over mitzvahs. According to the Ari, each of the different items on the Seder plate has different Kabbalistic significance. There's a specific order, and if you're a chassid, they generally go like the Kabbalistic perspective, some go like the Gra's perspective. The main thing is to put it out and choose any of the shittos. They're all good. So that was all based on the Panini Halakha. I hope that was a short, quick, and sweet overview. We will be continuing to learn the laws of Pesach and post very shortly. Have a beautiful, beautiful day. Let the Torah keep us sane.